Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Congratulations to Steph Curry, the Warriors' all-time leading scorer.
Curry, four to shoot, step back off the dribble, jumper, why not? Why not? You're Steph Curry and the world is your oyster.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, you know something happened around here when we're crafting rejoins. My goodness, Steph Curry passing Wilt Chamberlain. Got our man Brian Ratto a little extra work this week. How about that, Brian? Don't work too hard. Good stuff, though.
Me, he's a Ratto. He's never worked too
hard. He's not going to work too hard. We do know that about him. But good stuff right there. And obviously, Steph Curry last night gets it done. Ends up with 53 on a night that he gets the Warriors into the win column and gets himself into first place on the team's all-time scoring list, passing Wilt Chamberlain. Again, it's one thing to be the all-time scorer of the, you know, I don't know, the Oklahoma City Thunder or the all-time leading scorer for the Phoenix Coyotes or whatever. You know, like, who cares? I mean, the Warriors have been around since 1946, for goodness sakes. So it really is an unbelievable accomplishment. Steph Curry last night on NBC Sports on the post game talked about how this feeling is a special one. Getting this record meant something to him.
Yeah, this is special, man. Now that we got the win and I can kind of process what just happened and, you know, over this last 12 years, all the teammates that I played with, coaching staff, our ownership, our fans, I've had some amazing experiences here. And to know, like, you know, the points record, like you said, Wilt, anytime you hear his name, you always just assume his record's unreachable. I did play six extra years, I guess, here, but it still means something to be at the top of that list, and I'm forever grateful for everybody that's poured into me to let me do what I get to do on the court, my family. I don't plan on slowing down, obviously, but this is one to kind of take a second and appreciate for sure.
I mean, the fact that no one really got close to Wilt before Steph is amazing, and if you think Steph plays another five, 6 years, he is going to push this number out to a place where it's going to be one of those, ain't nobody going to see that number again. I mean, you don't make players any longer who stick around a franchise for the entirety of their careers anymore. I mean, it really feels like Steph is going to walk off into the sunset with this one, and then that'll be that. Like, he'll be number one forever, almost.
Never say forever, because nobody thought anybody would catch Chamberlain either. And if you believe that players get better, and if you believe that the game is changing and that it's ratcheting toward higher and higher point totals, there will be somebody who will get this record from Curry. We will all be dead by then, because I wanted to make sure that there was a light note, but there, don't ever say forever on anything.
I know that.
Every record we've ever seen got broken when nobody thought it could.
Right, but sports are now happening in vacuums that didn't even exist back then. I mean, the element of someone becoming the all-time leading scorer, I don't doubt it because of a scoring ability of the next generation of players. It's the longevity with one team. I mean, Steph Curry, what is he, in year 12 with the Golden State Warriors? It's absurd. I don't know if any player is going to be expected to stay a dozen years with one franchise. I think that's where it becomes unreachable, Ray, not from a skilled standpoint, but from a commitment to one team standpoint.
There'll be somebody who gets that. I don't know who it is, may not have even been born yet, but there's always an outlier. Stephen Curry's an outlier. There's no question. I'm not denying any part of that. But just when you think that nothing can be, this is one that can't be broken, somebody's going to come along and break it. It's the nature of athletics.
Yeah, possible. I mean, but either of you could be right. It is the nature of athletics for things to be broken. I mean, records were made to be broken. The sayings come from somewhere. But also some records never get broken because the game changes sort of irretrievably. And this is one of those things where I think Damon might be right, that players move around so much. We're talking about a guy that in a 12-year career for a team has scored at an exceptional MVP rate. And he is quite literally the only player in the league right now who's made it to a third contract at the max level with the same team. Now, we'll see what happens with Giannis, but that's it. All the other stars have moved. Every single other one. Jokic, I guess we'll see. You know, there's some young guys that I suppose could stay. The guys in Boston, we'll see. But 12 years with one team is a long time, especially for these stars. I mean, for anybody. And for these stars to score at that rate with one team and never go anywhere else, like it is going to be a tough record to break here, no doubt.
It's going to be almost impossible. It's going to just be because of the way the game is played now. It's going to be almost impossible. Somebody on the text line says, you know, Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak, that's never going to be broken.
Never.
Correct. Correct. That is off the table now because no player is going to be allowed to play that many games in a row. I was looking, I got a little something today. We haven't got to it yet. We haven't done the baseball portion of today's show. I'm saving it for the baseball portion of today's show. But how about this for a number? So Clayton Kershaw's last win made him 177-77 in his career, which puts him in the rarefied territory of being 100 games over 500 as a starting pitcher. But I looked at it, the whole thing. Think how great Clayton Kershaw has been for how many years he's been great. He's only at 177 wins. This is his 14th major league season.
Yeah.
Like, we're never going to see another 300-game winner. We're never going to see these complete game records ever go anywhere again. They just don't play like that anymore. And you could say that NBA players don't stick around one location anymore with almost a level of certainty, Ray, that creates the concept of Curry 6 more years from now putting this number in a place where it gets untouched for the remainder of the foreseeable future, because you would need to invent a time that no longer exists to find a player who's willing to stay anywhere long enough to take down a record like that. I mean, not only would you have to go 12 years at an MVP level of scoring for the Golden State Warriors, you'd then have to go 4 more years beyond that. So now we're talking 16 years with one team, and that is something that it is almost safe to say. That's hard to see happening in the NBA. You're right.
Never say never,
but you can say, Damon, you're 99% point right on that. I mean, I am 99% right on that.
Well, yeah, I would be more impressed by that if not for the fact that Kobe Bryant played 20 years with the Lakers and had
right, because Kobe's so modern. He's such a modern guy. He had no old school tendencies and was definitely a millennial who grew up with social media. He's so relatable to today's players, don't you think, Ray?
Kobe Bryant? What was his last year playing?
Yeah, they worshipped at an altar that no longer even exists. They don't make men like Kobe Bryant anymore into this league. They don't.
I think that's not even the point.
The point doesn't even matter.
My only point was
you're talking about Kobe Bryant is one of the elite, most incredible players in basketball history. And of those players, even in past times, but certainly now, one of the rare guys that never left the original team he's with, in part because they are in Los Angeles. The odds of that happening again, even in Los Angeles, are long. Never mind here. That's the point. It's a Warriors franchise record. And in a few more years, Steph Curry is going to throw that thing way out beyond Wilt Chamberlain. And boy, especially here, it's hard to imagine that being broken. As hard as it is to imagine with you know, almost any tough-to-break record in sports.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I'm saying that at some point someone will do it, and we probably won't be around to see it because it'll take that long. But, I mean, I could easily see Giannis playing in Milwaukee for 17, 18 years. I don't think that's out of the question. It'll be one or two guys per cycle, but one of them will do it.
It's hardly anything you walk into a casino betting on, I guess is the point.
I wouldn't bet on it either, but I think Nico Mannion is your answer.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Nico Mannion, he had to play in an NBA game. I don't see an NBA game. He made a mistake last night that almost makes me want to take a red marker and just draw a name through his line. That fumble on the fast break, I mean, that can't be happening on the I'm going to take you seriously at this level. And I feel bad because you see dots and moments, but it ain't happening for Nico Mannion. I would imagine less playing time will be the formula from here on out, I'm guessing. And I'll tell you.
It has been, though, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see Gary Payton Jr. get a little bit more run instead of just garbage 2-3 seconds to play out a half or something like that. Get him out there.
Sure, I guess. But really, isn't Nico Mannion's, you know, fumbling a fast break last night just kind of a point in the maybe when Steve Kerr decides not to play a guy, after all, we should just listen to him, column? Because he was like, yep, we're going with Jordan and Nico as our backup guards. Let's take the roller coaster ride. And after about 4 or 5 games, it was like, quietly, Jordan Poole kept playing and Nico Mannion didn't. And I think the staff sees stuff that maybe we don't in those performances, or maybe we do and mention it on the show, but we don't spend all that much time on Nico Mannion for obvious reasons. There's a reason. He's not ready. And that's okay for a second-round pick who's 20 years old or whatever it is. I think he will be an NBA player. He certainly shows NBA attributes at times, but I don't think he's quite ready, and there's a reason he hadn't been playing lately.
Yeah, it was a bad moment last night. Again, Brad Wanamaker. Sorry, Kent Bazemore had like a...
Hey, you'd still rather see Nico Mannion than Brad Wanamaker, though.
I would. Even, you know what, though? Wanamaker showed up. Where is he now? He's in Charlotte. And he's given the Hornets what he wasn't given the Warriors. I don't know what it
Fair
was.
Fair enough, man. Yeah. That's okay, you know, but it clearly wasn't working here.
Right. Sometimes it doesn't work out. And oh, by the way, welcome everybody to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 in San Francisco. It's an Odyssey station.
Again, here is Steph Curry from last night, what it feels like to pass Wilt Chamberlain on the franchise's scoring list. Here's Steph.
Crazy. I was saying earlier, anytime you hear his name, it's kind of daunting because, you know, his records are so hard, or almost some of them are even possible to eclipse, I think. And you understand how great of a player he was. I think anytime his name pops up, you almost redefine the respect level for him. I mean, what he was able to accomplish. I know there's... I can't remember exactly how many games he played as a Warrior and how many I've played, but to be anywhere near him in any record book or now be on top is surreal and it's wild. Because if you grew up in the game of basketball and you hear his name, you know it's something extremely special, no matter what it is.
I mean, it's like finding out that, you know, you make more cars than General Motors. It's like finding out that you just happen to be a little taller than the Empire State Building or something. Like, it's, you're taking out a bona fide, historically significant icon when you take Wilt Chamberlain's name off the one line in any category that he ever played in. I mean, he really does have numbers that will never be approached. And there's Steph Curry approaching that number and surpassing it. It really is amazing. Like I was saying, it's rare that you have definitively the greatest player in franchise history in front of you, and especially when a franchise is as old as the Warriors franchise is, dating back to 1946. Basically, you know, it's going back to World War II, and Steph Curry is now on top of that list. You know, it feels like it's really easy to find who is the most important or greatest player in any one particular franchise, but it's not. It's very much up for debate. It's so rare that a player puts his resume so far in front of anyone else's that that ends the debate. Like, you'd think, like, greatest Yankee of all time, super easy, just go to Babe Ruth. How could you go wrong with Babe Ruth? Well, maybe you'd be statistically correct, but boy, oh boy, don't tell that to a generation of players who grew up worshiping exclusively at the altars of Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio. You want to go a little bit more modern for Gito or Mariano Rivera. You know, that's there for you. There's a debate to be had about the greatest Yankee ever. Greatest Dodger of all time? That's a good way to start a bar fight, right? Greatest Cub of all time? Forget it. We'd need to the end of the summer to figure that out. Greatest Giant of all time?
Oh, I have a Cubs stat for you.
Oh, I know about it.
I give it.
I got it. I know it. It's futile. We'll get to it later, Ray. It's brutal. I saw you tweet it right when I saw it last night, too, and I thought, oh, good. Ray's going to bring that up tomorrow. But look.
You don't think greatest Giant is pretty obvious?
No, because, look, it's not Barry Bonds because Willie Mays exists.
That's what
and
I mean.
It's not Willie Mays because Barry Bonds exists. I mean, I'm ready to argue either way. You know what I'm saying? It's just, what's your flavor?
I don't know.
What's your generation?
I'm a big Barry defender, but I don't think the argument between him and Willie is that. I don't know, Ray. Your thoughts?
It's
I feel like
close.
Willie is
it's Mays.
Clear. Yeah,
it's Mays for a couple of reasons. One, he was a five-tool player. Bonds was a four, and in every way, Mays was a more complete player, except for hitting home runs. And I don't begrudge Bonds any one of the 755 he hit. But Mays was a better defensive outfielder. He was faster. He was the best player in an era in which every team had a Hall of Famer, even the lousy ones. Mays is probably, depending on how you want to view Babe Ruth as a pitcher, is either the first or second best player in the history of the sport.
Look, I get it. Barry Bonds has an on-base percentage over a three-year stretch, which makes Willie Mays look like he couldn't even play T-ball. Okay? You know, so there's that. There's
what about the other 16 years, though?
There are our warm, fuzzy memories. There are these memories that are hard to... And then, you know, there are some statistical years of Barry Bonds that are absurd as the statistical years of Wilt Chamberlain. Like, how was this guy doing this and the entire league wasn't even in his league? And again, there's a little murkiness around how Bonds did it all. So it's up for debate. You know, it's up for debate. You want to go with Mays? I'm not going to. Fine. I'll give you that one. So it's easy then.
And Chamberlain used, PEDs too.
They all did.
Well,
we all
did. No, here's what he did, because no other player's ever done this. And I know this for a fact. Every timeout, while other guys were drinking water or Gatorade or whatever, 16 ounces of 7-Up.
So
that's what he drank
every
time. Yeah.
That's
and this funny. Was for every time out, you know, just, you know, and there were probably like 12 in a game. So
Heart
12
attack?
Times 16.
Was it?
You know, it's about 190 ounces of 7-Up.
It's while not healthy. Doing Don't do that, did. Kids. Don't do that. But,
that
but
are, you know, but I think 3,000 calories every 5 minutes because you're out playing an NBA game.
That helps, but still, that still can't be healthy. The bigger point, right, that it's hard. I mean, I grew up with this too, right? Obviously, Michael Jordan is clearly the greatest player in the Bulls franchise history. You know what I mean? In fact, I think Frank Thomas is pretty clearly the greatest player in White Sox franchise history. So I grew up with that too. And Bay Area fans, even if you want to do the Bonds and say that's an argument, then you've gotten the chance to see arguably the greatest player in Giants history. You've gotten a chance to see, you know, if you're around any of our ages, you've gotten a chance to see arguably the greatest player in A's history in Ricky Henderson. You've gotten to see the best player in Warriors franchise history in Steph Curry. It's super cool, frankly.
you got to see the greatest player in 49ers history in Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
That's definitive,
yeah.
Folks. You can talk.
There you go.
You're a Steve guy. You're a Joe guy. You're a Ronnie guy. Yeah. The Jerry guy
We're
wins the argument
Jerry
every
guys.
Single time. It's every single time definitively the greatest player. Like you already said, you have Michael Jordan. We have Ricky Henderson to get to the answer with the A's, although the A's have so many great players throughout their history, too. If those who wanted to debate it with you really wanted to get into it, we could have an interesting debate. You'd still win it with Ricky Henderson, but it is to be debated. You know, there's that much talent in the history of the franchise. There is no greatest Raider of all time beyond Al Davis himself. You can't put your finger on any one guy and saying that's definitively the greatest player, but Al holds that crown.
A lot of greats, but no single greatest, right?
Exactly.
That's what's so special. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not an insult. It's a testament to how much greatness there really was that went through the franchise throughout all the years. I just put together this is a small list. Again, these are the things that popped into my mind. The comprehensive, didn't need to look it up. That guy's the greatest. Nothing left to debate. John Elway, greatest Denver Bronco of all time, undebatable. Mario Lemieux, greatest Pittsburgh Penguin of all time, undebatable. Tom Brady.
I wouldn't say that.
Really?
Sidney Crosby.
Oh, get the hell out of
really?
Here, Ray. Get the hell out. Come on.
No.
That's adorable.
Are you talking more? You want to argue with me about hockey? We can go.
Yes, the most important Pittsburgh Penguin of all time is Mario Lemieux.
The most important is a different argument.
He bought the franchise to prove it. He is the definitive Penguin.
Okay, but what was the phrase you used when you started this?
Greatest player of all time.
Player. And I would suggest to you that there are a number of people who believe that as good as Lemieux was, the years that he lost to cancer and other injuries make Sidney Crosby the better player.
Yeah, but then Yager,
if you want to
Yager
say
the
most impactful Penguin, it's no question it's Lemieux because he's an owner, and he was an extraordinary player when he played. But there is very definitely a resonating case for Sidney Crosby.
Trust me on this. I'll take your word for it, but I think you're wrong, and Jaromir Jagr probably does too. So
Jaromir Jagr, please.
One of the great Penguins of all time. Stop it.
Yeah. Not even Geno Malkin.
Wayne Gretzky feels like
that's hands down. No question.
He is the rare greatest of two franchises.
Two, yeah.
Unless you wanted to drop a Luke Robitaille on me, but I'm still going to say Gretzky meant more to the Kings and the Edmonton Oilers, obviously. Shout out Mark Messier, wherever you are. It's still Gretzky on top of both of those. It's amazing. Well, I guess the whole point of the damn segment is how rare it is that you can ever find one from one sport in any one city. Look at what we've enjoyed just here in the Bay Area. Definitively Steph Curry. Definitively Jerry Rice. You want to argue about Bonds or Mays? Go right ahead. Definitively Ricky Henderson. Definitively Al Davis being the greatest Raider of all time. He was the most important one. That doesn't really count, but it's something else. We have been so spoiled.
Definitively Joe
here.
Thornton, as long as you're doing that.
Yeah. But isn't Patrick Marleau the greatest shark of all time? Come on.
Not even close. It's Thornton. It's Thornton by a wide margin.
Except in the record book.
The record book doesn't tell you nearly what you think it does.
This guy was the better player for the history of the franchise, and no one won a cup.
It was Thornton. I guarantee you it was Thornton. Ask 1,000 hockey people. They will all say Thornton. They'll like Marleau, but they'll love Thornton. And that isn't debatable.
And I'm not a Marleau guy, but he does have every single
career franchise
record.
No, you're a Donskoy guy, which shows what you know.
Donskoy is the greatest San Jose Shark, certainly of my time. Anyways, we got to take a real quick break. How about we're going to give you a chance to make a little cash before we come on back with Tim Roy? Text the code word DONUT to 72881. DONUT. 72881. It's a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio Garden, and more. Check it all out at osh.com. And if your business, your high-rise, or your HOA is in need of quality painting, check out MB Jesse Painting, which offers the most trusted painting service in the Bay Area. Their experts complete projects on time and have been helping Bay Area residences and businesses for 25 years. Visit mbjesse.com. That is M-B-J-E-S-S-E-E, three E's in jesse.com for a free quote today. Coming on back with Tim Roy next here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Congratulations to Steph Curry, the Warriors' all-time leading scorer.
50 seconds to go. Curry backs up. Rainbow three. Swish! Swish!
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, the man who says swish is the one and only Tim Roy, your voice of the Golden State Warriors. Good enough to join us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Thank you, as always, for your time, Tim. At what point did you realize, like, oh, he's going to take the drama out of this early? We're going to he's going to do this by the end of the first quarter. My goodness.
Yeah, it was about 4 minutes in, and it's was really, you could tell he was really taking the ball to the basket. He was trying to get to his spots. He was very active, and so you could tell right away that he was trying to go for it. And if I could tell the guys in the control room, I'm hearing myself coming back at me in a big
Ooh,
way.
Ooh, so, there's a little mix-minus issue that we must take care of for Mr. Tim Roy, please.
I think that's better now. Better now.
Excellent, excellent. Before we hand you off, one of the things I wanted Ray to do today is provide a little historical context, and I'd like you to do the same, Tim, because Wilt Chamberlain is more of a rumor who had statistical absurdities that almost made you just dismiss his career and accomplishment for some people. It's like, well, you know, no one really talks about old Hoss Rayburn the way that we're talking about great pitchers, because they just don't pitch like that anymore. And it feels like Chamberlain played in an era that is unrecognizable to modern fans. Would you try to frame who he was historically to the league so we can properly understand what Steph Curry really did last night?
Well, what Wilt did was he changed the game in a different way. You know, it was much more of a big man's game then. And when he came in, and all of a sudden you had this physical talent, this athletic ability that was translated into scoring, and he could score on anybody. He could rebound on anybody. He was the strongest player in the league. He was probably one of the fastest players in the league. And he really, you know, the film you see of him, most of it is at the end of his career, not during his prime. And so he basically made people aware that, hey, you'd had to have a quality big man to compete in this league. And then, unfortunately for him, he ended up playing the role of the guy with the black hat. As he said, nobody roots for Goliath. And, you know, with the Celtics and their dynasty and the talent that they had, he played on a lot of teams that were a couple of players short. And they didn't have the kind of depth that the Celtics had. And so, you know, it took him a long time, I think, to really get his due. But he was transformative. You know, they changed rules in college for him. They put chicken wire over the backboard to keep them from teams from throwing a lob pass to Wilt from behind the backboard. So Steph is the same thing. The game has changed because of Steph. And so you have these two transformative players from different eras, one incredibly large, athletically gifted, and one of the strongest players ever to play in the league, if not the strongest. And then you have Steph Curry, who's on the opposite end of the spectrum, who comes in looking like he's the kid next door, but over time has, you know, matured his body, but has taken his skill level to an entirely different stratosphere, and now kids and players in the league are copying his way of playing, you know, learning to ball handle better, learning to shoot with range better. You know, Damian Lillard and Trae Young probably wouldn't be shooting from the logo had not Steph Curry started that trend and showing people that you can shoot from out here and have a decent chance for success. So I thought it was kind of cool last night because you had these two guys who transformed the game, and last night their journeys intersected, and it was great to see.
Chamberlain had three specific rules changed simply because he existed. If Curry is to do that, what do you think the rule or rules will be that get changed to sort of, you know, Steph-proof the game?
I think that if there is a change that Steph would have an impact on would be where the three-point line is. And I think that, you know, if you want to change the game, then you're going to have to bring the three-point line out of the corners and put it, you know, maybe to the hash mark and above the break and make it a real, you know, value shot, that it's, You know, it's one that you don't want to take all the time. And I think if that happens, then you could point right at Steph Curry and say, okay, he's the main reason why this happened, because he showed people how, you know, what a weapon the three-point shot could be. You know, before, you know, guys like Reggie Miller and people like that, they were taking them, but it wasn't, you know, like the volume that people are taking them now. And so that's what I would think. I would think, you know, raising the three-point line out of the corner so you don't have the 23-3 shot, make it all a deeper shot and only, you know, going on maybe a half arc from, you know, hash mark to hash mark. If you change that, that's the rule I think could be changed.
Is there any indication that that's coming soon? Or is it still in the conceptual dreamers, you know, guys who write long pieces for ESPN dream world?
Yeah, I think it's still in the talking stage right now, the writer speculative stage. I don't think anybody at the league office has brought that in. I think we may get to that point, though, if the league, you know, gets out of control with the number of three-point shots and it loses a little bit of its appeal. And I think you could see that, so that teams will work offensively differently in order to get them maybe a higher quality shot. And I think that's the only thing I think right now that you could say is really missing from the game, is that sometimes we get a little three happy.
When it comes to, I mean, look, you've called pretty much every game of Steph's career. When it comes to the way he scores, what can you tell us about how that's evolved as you've watched over the years?
When he first came to the league, he could drive, he could penetrate. But he wasn't the finisher that he became. You know, one of the reasons why the Warriors, you know, during their run, there were a couple of years where they were right up there with anybody in points in the paint, and he was a major reason why, because he would drive and get to the rim. And his finishing is so much better now. He's stronger now. He's able to, you know, take the contact and score. And I guess I would also add a little bit, Matt, that's also the in-between game. You know, the floater, the runners that he's forced to make now because people are double-teaming him, getting him off the three-point line. And so he's had to hone and perfect this mid-range game. And that's what makes him so difficult to guard, because not only do you have to guard him when he gets to half court, now you got to guard him from half court all the way to the bucket. And he can make any shot in between. I guess his shots below the arc are the ones that have gotten incredibly efficient, and he's really good at it. And I think that to me is what makes him so dangerous right now.
Tim Roy here on 95.7 The Game. If you don't mind me saying, great call last night, Tim. The shining like the Big Dipper. You had that. You worked on that one somewhere, and you brought it to the game and had it ready to go. It was a great way to punctuate him passing Wilt Chamberlain. I love a good broadcasting line. You gave us one last night.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's so funny. It makes you appreciate Wilt even more because of the fact that, you know, he did in like 400-something games.
Yeah,
and so I mean it's just incredible. But I love the fact that it was somebody like Steph. That Steph did it because he knows who Wilt is. He understands Wilt Chamberlain and his impact on the game. And he, you know, like he said, it's kind of cool to think about that. And to be honest with you, I say this line all the time, and I truly mean it. You know, my first 15, 20 years, I didn't even look at, you know, Antoine Jameson gets 50, that's fine. Wilt averaged 50 in a season. You know, I'm not even going to look that one up, you know. So, I mean, there were so many records that, you know, he held as a franchise. And if they had kept block shots when he was playing with the Warriors, he'd hold that record too. But, you know, that I didn't even look, and to have somebody pass him. And now, you know, we were talking on the air last night that, you know, if he stays reasonably healthy, and, you know, with his shooting ability, he could even have a couple of years at the end of his career where maybe he's a, you know, Kyle Korver type. You know, he's got a shot at getting into the top 10 all-time in scoring.
It's really something else. And like you said, you can't just lean on the fact, well, Wilt already did it. You're going to have to make RC crack open that record book every now and then to double-check that. That might be a Steph Curry record now. You know what was also good to see last night, just to, you know, bring it beyond Steph Curry? It looks like Draymond Green's coming out of his scoring cocoon a little bit.
Yeah, I think, especially with Wiseman sidelined, I think that that's a pot. That's, I think it's Draymond's looking at it and saying, okay, I've got to give more now. I've got to do more. And, you know, he's always adaptive to the game. He's, you know, if he needs to take some shots, he's going to take some shots. If he doesn't, he's not going to. So I think we'll see him more aggressive now because he's going to be, you know, open, and that's number one. Number two, they're going to need him to get some more scoring with Wiseman down and the fact that at times, you know, their bench has been erratic. Though I think that with the rotation that's been run the last few games, it looks like that they're getting some tread, some cohesion with that second group, and I'm excited to see how that progresses.
This may be recency bias talking because they've won a grand total of two in a row now. You know, cue the applauding crowds. Do you look at the standings now and start to wonder if maybe they might not just back into the 10 because New Orleans doesn't seem to be making up any ground. Sacramento's clearly faded. Oklahoma City's like five games back now. Do you think this is a team that, even though it's not playing nearly the kind of basketball it wants to, is almost going to fall into the 10 because nobody's prepared to challenge them for it?
Yeah, well, you know, I think New Orleans could. I think they could get going here a little bit. And, you know, getting a ball back into a high level would be great for them. But yeah, I mean, right now, nobody has shown the ability to run off four or five in a row that would get you into that mix. None of the teams behind them have done that. And so I think if this road trip, I think, is a big one for them because there are winnable games here. And so I think if they come away with a nice road trip, I think they'll be in really good shape for this. But so far, Ray, I don't think any of those teams behind them have shown, you know, the ability to rattle off a win streak like that, win five or six in a row, and to move forward. It's been a weird year, though. I think that because of COVID, because of what's, you know, no crowds, I think that affects certain teams, certain players. And so it's been a weird year. It's been hard to really, you know, look at the schedule and the standings and say this should happen. I think there are a lot of teams, I think, that would, if you ask them, they would say, no, we're better than our record. And I just think it's been weird that way.
James Wiseman's out. That was obviously the main focus for a lot of us down the stretch of the season. For this team now, with sort of the development of that big piece off the table for the time being, other than hopefully getting into that play-in spot, what do you feel like the goals are for this team?
I'm not sure I follow you on that one.
Well, I mean you're trying to get into the play-in spot. But they've talked a lot. I guess what I'm saying is they've talked a lot about next year and how that is sort of really where the bullseye is. How does Wiseman being out change that right now?
I think the thing about Wiseman being out, to me, the most important thing is that it's a setback in his development. It's a setback that he was going to be in the mix of the minutes. He was going to learn more. He was going to face more and different centers and learn a little bit more about how to play against these guys. He was going to get time on the court where maybe, you know, he would get some real confidence going in his game, but it seems like every time he would get something going, you know, something would happen. He sprains a wrist. He has to sit out because of health and safety protocols. Now this. So to me, that's the most important thing of the Wiseman thing, is that's really going to be how quickly can you get him back into a place where he can start learning again. And I think that to me is the most important thing. As far as the season goes, I think you want to create a winning atmosphere. And I look at it a little bit differently than most. I look at it like, I think if the Warriors go in and play well, and Steph is helping with this, Steph playing really well is helping with this, where if they go in and they say win a play-in and maybe get to a first-round series, maybe get a couple of games and make that a real good series, I think that's going to be attractive for free agents around the league, veterans who are looking and say, hey, you know what? If they get Wiseman back, they got Clay coming back. You know, maybe that's a place we can park my contract and see if we can make that run with these guys, that last couple, 2 or 3 year run to go for a title with this group. So, I think it's important for them to try to finish strong and to once again, be that destination franchise where veterans want to come and hang out.
Couple times this year, we have sold the upcoming road trip as this will be the one that defines the season. Here we are, though. I mean, we're running out of road trips, Tim, so this is it.
So two more left.
Yeah, beatable opponents for sure coming up in the Thunder and the Cavaliers. So things get interesting, and the Warriors need to keep winning and doing it right now. Tim, thanks as always for joining us again. Great call last night. Great calls as always by you. And if I may please, sir, just a special request. The very next time Steph Curry hits a three, could it be greeted with a boom baby and a rest in peace for Slick?
Oh,
Leonard.
For Slick, yeah. Absolutely. Slick was one of the just nicest and plain spoken people I've ever met. You know, what he thought, he came out right out and said it. You were going to get no BS from him. And there's a whole generation of basketball fans in the Midwest that learned a lot of the game from him. And he cemented basketball in Indiana with his ABA teams. It's been a bad year for sports and just a year and a half, I should say, and I think it's just another loss. And on a more positive note, I'll be back in a couple hours. I'll follow you guys at 6 o'clock, and we're going to talk to Sam Amick of The Athletic. And to the new, we're going to look back at Steph's record, obviously, and the new president and COO of the Golden State Warriors, Brandon Schneider, is going to join us as well.
Talk about big shoes to fill. My goodness. Good luck to you, Mr. Schneider. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Tim. We'll be tuning in for a little Warriors roundtable coming up later tonight at 6 o'clock. Thanks as always, and boom, baby, to you, sir. When in doubt, get yourself a Hoosier to make basketball better.
Take care, guys.
Thank you so much. There he is, Tim Roy. Again, Slick Leonard passed away. Longtime voice of the Pacers. Came up with the boom, baby, for Reggie Miller, which was a really big deal in Indianapolis for a long time. The guy was a legend in the state of Indiana. So rest in peace to Slick Leonard, who passes away. Basketball losing another legend.
Yeah, there was a documentary on NBA TV about how he and his wife single-handedly raised the money to buy and keep the Pacers in Indiana. And it's if you could find it, it's well worth it because it A, tells you about how basketball was and how that probably couldn't happen in any other city except Indianapolis.
Yeah. I mean, the NBA was such a mom and pop shop. I mean, you had the Fort Wayne Zellner Pistons, for goodness sakes. Before they moved to Detroit, they were owned by the Zellner family in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They were called the Fort Wayne Zellner Pistons. I mean, it was insane how mom and pop shop that league used to be. And look at the Warriors now. They're the fifth most valuable franchise in the entire sporting universe.
Yeah, they were a powerhouse AAU team at the time when every AAU team was sponsored by a car dealer or an auto parts guy or a contractor. They became the Detroit Pistons because eventually Fred Zellner sold because he ran out of money. But, yeah, it's a tale for before the NBA started, and the NBA's roots are deep and very weird. But
the new leagues are always like that, right? I mean, it's just in many ways that's the newest. But new leagues are always filled with weird mavericks because it takes kind of a nut to start a sport, you know? Like, it's not easy to do. I mean, you know, look at all the stories of the ABA. Our friend of the show, Ryan Rosillo, has been doing a series with people telling stories about the ABA and bringing up my favorite sports book of all time, Loose Balls by Terry Pluto, which is an oral history of the league. And it's, you can't believe the stories, you know, and this was in the 70s, not even back in like the 50s or 40s or in the case of baseball, the late 1800s when MLB is starting. Of course, wacky stuff was going on. But even in the 70s, like anyone starting a new league, it's going to involve a lot of weirdos and it's a lot of fun.
You can't be risk adverse if you're going first in on a brand
exactly.
new experiment. So, yeah, you're inviting people who got a little bit more character maybe to them, and I'm not talking like good character, just willing to risk it character, just in the room to begin with, because that's what it calls for. And what is amazing is it's incredible to me that Hollywood relies so much on the reboot of the old concept, because so many movies now are just undone by an advent of a cell phone. I mean, how many movies in the 50s, 60s, and 70s were basically the entire premise of the movie was a running misunderstanding or an inability to communicate something to somebody, and therefore
in the 90s,
the entire plot of the movie happens. Like, yeah. Now, a cell phone just ruins like every other movie. Like, even movies about like Tiger, 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 one of the best war movies of all time, like the attack on Pearl Harbor. If we had had email, none of that happens. Email, none of it happens. That's it. The entire World War II Pacific Theater would be undone or secured with email. Hotmail could have saved everyone. So, like, it's hard to go back in time and reduplicate. And, like, the forging of professional basketball existed in a world that no longer exists. You know, how are you going to finish this contract without a bump of cocaine in the back of the room, in the back of the club? How are you going to do this? I mean, it was nuts. They were crazy. Like, whatever HR meeting applies to the NBA now did not exist back then. Not at all. Not one bit. It was borrow, beg, steal from everyone to just get our wheels underneath us. And we'll see if we can make it from there. It was awesome. The world doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it was guys who had arenas and needed to fill dates, and that's why they seized on basketball. These weren't basketball people at all. They were guys who ran arenas, and they usually had a hockey team before they had the basketball team. And that was, you know, that was how the Celtics started. That was how your beloved Zollner Pistons started. You know, there were two leagues. The NBA actually didn't even start till 1950 because there were competing leagues trying to figure out who was going to survive and who wasn't. It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. How about this? We have great, great Warrior guests coming up a little bit later on today to frame what Steph Curry has accomplished by passing Wilt Chamberlain. Jason Richardson is joining us at 4:15. He knows something about playing for the Golden State Warriors. Don Nelson joins us at 5 o'clock. He knows something about coaching the Golden State Warriors. And boy, oh boy, you know who also knows something about playing for the Golden State Warriors? Mitch Richmond. And he's joining us next. A late addition to today's lineup. We're saying hello to Mitch Richmond coming up next here on 95.7 The Game. In the meantime, if you miss anything that happens on the air, make sure you have the Odyssey app. Just go to your app store and download Odyssey. Used to be radio.com. We are now Odyssey. Don't wait. Download it today. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking. No compromises. Our Exergen temperature check right now tells us it's lovely. 72 degrees and sunny up in Napa.
Congratulations to Steph Curry, the Warriors' all-time leading scorer.
Three ball, right corner pocket for Curry. Stephen Curry is now the all-time leading scorer for the Warriors in postseason history.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you along today. We're spending really the entire show looking back at Steph Curry's career. An incredible player, now the all-time franchise leading scorer for the Golden State Warriors, which is a mouthful to say the least. A little bit later on today, Don Nelson's going to join us, Jason Richardson a little bit later on this afternoon as well. But right now, a late addition to today's show that I didn't think was going to happen, and I'm sure glad that it is, because Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond joins us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Mitch, thank you so much. Along with being in the Hall of Fame, you're also obviously part of one of the single greatest nicknames in the history of sports. Whenever we can get any member of Run TMC on, we do it. Thank you so very much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. Trying to do the best I can during this pandemic, you know.
I hope you are doing very well, too. We're all trying to make it through, and right. At least we can start to see the other side of the tunnel for the first time in a long time. Warriors are even going to be having some fans back in the arena the next time they play a home game, which will be a welcome sight. But, boy, last night, Steph Curry, he did it, and Mitch, he did it in the first quarter. We thought it might happen at halftime. He just went and did it in the first quarter to pass Wilt Chamberlain as a guy who dominated and played in this league. What does that sentence even mean? What should it mean to Warriors fans?
Wow. It's just an unbelievable achievement, accomplishment, and to actually still be in his prime, that he's going to break even more records, that, you know, who's going to come along and have an opportunity to break his. It's just an unbelievable feat, and unbelievable player, and more just an unbelievable person.
Is there a player, and I realize that, that Curry is such an outlier that the comparisons don't make a lot of sense, but is there anybody who, by dint of his outside shooting alone, struck what you believe is the level of fear that Curry strikes today?
I played with his dad, and his dad had that type of range and that type of skill set. That type of shooting ability. But he is nothing like his son. Curry is just putting himself in the category by himself. I don't see another player like him, because this guy has been able to do it from such a far distance. And been able to do it with an accuracy where now when he shoots, I think everything's going in. And if it's not, you know what I'm saying, maybe his big toe is hurting, his ankle is hurting or something. So I don't know what's going on. You know, so I look at him and think he's going to make every shot he shoots.
You were a good 3-point shooter by your career standards, you know, by the 90s standards, a tremendous 3-point shooter. The most you ever shot in a game was 6.5. Could you at that time have even pictured the number of threes that people would be attempting?
Well, I say this all the time. Like, I can remember shooting 5 or 6 and saying to myself, okay, that's a little too many, too much right now. I got to get to the rim. All right, I done shot too many. Let me get to the rim a little bit. I think I shot is 10 in a game. But, man, I see guys shooting 18 and 23, and I'm like, oh, my God, what a green light. I think the game has just changed so much. You know, if you took a shot out there and you missed, the other team was making sure that you get punished for taking long-distance shots if you didn't make it. But with Curry, accuracy, it's just amazing. And then now you got guys trying to follow him. You know, I coach college basketball, and I always say that, you know, Curry hurt the college game because all these guys trying to shoot like Curry, and they haven't did the practice like he has. You know what I mean? And you see these guys in practice, and they trying to shoot half court. Like, hey, man, you got to make a layup first. You know, but Curry, man, I think he's just I can remember when Mark Jackson said something years ago about the best shooting backcourt with him and Clay. And I can remember saying, well, what does this dude talk about, man? What is he saying? Like, it's only his third year, and you're talking about this guy's like the best shooting backcourt ever. Now I have to take that statement back. I mean, I got to believe this guy and him and Clay, you know, with those two guys that can shoot long distance and then shoot with such precision. I mean, it's just an unbelievable feat to be able to do that and to make that ball go in that little basket from such a deep area, man, is really unbelievable.
Talking Warriors history with a man who knows an awful lot about it, Mitch Richmond here on 95.7 The Game. So if it were up to you to defend Curry tomorrow night when they're playing again, how would you even go about defending him, given that he is such an outlier? I mean, if you get too close, he can go around you. If you stay too far away just by an eyelash, he can get that three off. How would you defend Steph Curry?
Well, first I'm going to defend Steph is by changing the rules. We got to play like when I played. I got
hand-checking everywhere, right?
Yeah, I got to hand-check him. I got to push him around. When he go in the lane, he got to be bumped. I think with these rules, man, he's really and truly unguardable. You know, just hopefully that you try to just get a hand up when he shoots. You try to keep him in front of you, and that's hard to do. And then he's such a guy without the ball. that he continues to keep moving like Chris Mullin. It just keeps moving constantly, and you can't really kind of get a grips of where he's going to be at on the court. He has mastered every shot of on the court, and that's why he's such a dangerous player. I always tell young players all the time that you got to be able to shoot a mid-range, a layup, a floater, a pull-up. You don't have to take people off the dribble, and a three-point standing shot. Curry has all of that. And the one thing about it is, you know, we always talk about he makes it look so easy. He's working really hard, and he's working hard, and he's playing hard. And that's a testament to him to make it look easy while he's playing hard. Man, that's just an unbelievable feat to really be able to go up and guard him, man, because each and every night he's just such a threat. And even when he's off, you don't really want him to take that last shot because he might hit it. So, he's just hard to guard. He's hard to guard. I'm looking at it now. Each and every night, he's very hard to guard. You're talking about a guy when he first came in the league. You know, I thought he was going to struggle with his speed. I was always going to struggle with his strength. But he's been able to kind of, you know, master all of that. And he doesn't need to be the bulkiest guy. He don't need to be the fastest guy, but I see him on the court sometimes, and he is the fastest guy. And that was the thing that he was coming in, that he was kind of like slow-footed. But, man, he is really kind of helped improved his game each and every year. And we're talking about a guy that haven't even retired yet. He has so much more to give. And when I look at him, and you say he has, I mean, how many points he has with Golden State? I mean, he broke that record. What was that, 18? How many points is it?
He's getting 15? Near 18,000.
Huh?
He's getting close to 18,000.
Okay, 18,000 points, and he hasn't retired yet. If you look at it, I thought Curry already had about 25,000 points, honestly. And 18,000 points, and he still is still in his prime. And he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no question about it. He might go in the Hall of Fame as time as he retired. He might go in the next day of what he's accomplished. Just as he's such a great player to watch, great player to show the youth how to be and how to be a teammate, and just so many qualities that he has that you want to emulate and hope your son kind of have some of those qualities.
You know, you mentioned today's rules, and clearly it's a much less physical game overall than when you were playing. But we've talked in general, and especially this year, about Steph Curry. For a player of his stature and all those accolades you just described, he doesn't seem to get that friendly of a whistle. Why do you think that is?
Right. I think they take the ball going in, too. The ref is pretty much, when it launches, he's there looking at the shot. And so you saying that he doesn't get the whistle? Man, I don't really see that. Really?
Okay. Fair enough. I don't really see that.
I think he gets a fair amount of calls, and I mean, he's either going to make the shot or go to the free throw line. So I guess I haven't seen that part of it.
Is there a way to, I mean, people want to try it, to explain Wilt Chamberlain to people who haven't seen him. And the fact that there isn't a whole lot of film on him from his glory days is probably the reason why it's so hard to do. Is Curry's staying power culturally going to be that much longer, because a highlight of Stephen Curry is now forever, whereas a highlight of Wilt Chamberlain never happened?
I think it's staying power, because I just think how he has really kind of changed the game. From definitely what Wilt is definitely different from how Wilt played the game. And anytime you can mention your name with Wilt Chamberlain, it doesn't matter if he played 30, 40, 50 years ago, just by now someone breaking that record is a testament to itself of how good Wilt was. And so it's just a testament of how good Curry is, and he continues to get better, and he's going to be even better when they get Klay back and some more pieces. And it's amazing what he's done so far.
Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond, great to catch up with you. Like I said, we're going to be talking to Warrior greats throughout the show today. We've even got Don Nelson coming up at 5 o'clock in about an hour from now. What should we ask Don Nelson about you and your career? I mean, should we just bring up like whatever happened to Les Jepsen? Like, should we even bother asking what should we ask Don Nelson about the Mitch Richmond trade, or what was he thinking, or what would you ask him?
I mean, you know, I think we know Don Nelson now by, you know, being in Hawaii, you know, puffing on a little weed. But I think back then he must puffing on something when he traded me. That's how I feel. You can ask him. You can ask Don Nelson anything you want to ask him. I know that was a mistake. Okay, that was a mistake, and I tell Don every time I see him, I wish I could choke him, but you know, hey, I don't want to go to jail. But hey, you know, that's just, oh man, I look back at that all the time. I don't know what would have happened, but I don't even want to talk about it, man. I don't even know what you're asking. You know, I don't know what you're asking. It was wrong. That's all I know. It was wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hitting the table. You're getting me all excited again, man.
No, that's all right. That's all right. See, you know, these wounds are still fresh all these years later.
No, I don't care how long it's going to be, but I'm going to always remember that. No question.
And all he did was end up in the Hall of Fame. Like, it was a great ending anyways, and he's still stung about it.
Jesus, man. I mean, you know, I mean, I always tell people, man, that was, you know, I played with the Lakers, played with Kobe, played with Shaq. At that time, I was, you know, pretty much into my year, my last year. But playing with the Warriors, man, was the best time I've had playing in the NBA. Even though all the accolades that I accomplished, I just think that I could have still accomplished those things with the Golden State Warriors. I just felt, I mean, the team we had, it was just such a good unit. We all got along. We all hung out. So, you know, you just can imagine if you lose your friend. I lost 12 friends, man, overnight, and they shipped me to some other friends down the street. So that was very difficult to take, especially as a young player. So, I don't want it to make it be about me, man. It's about Steph tonight. But hey, man, Steph is, hey, let's continue to keep pushing him forward. And I know he's going to do the right thing to continue to keep doing what he's doing on the court. And I look forward to him when he does join the Hall of Fame. It'll probably be the quickest Hall of Fame appearance ever.
Mitch, it was so great to catch up with you. I'm surprised some NBA team's not trying to drag you into a studio to be pre or post game. What are you doing these days?
I do post game for the Sacramento Kings. I do.
Oh, you are doing post game now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing some post game. Yeah, I'm doing a little post game.
Well, glad to see you're in the rotation, man. You deserve to be one of the all time greats, a Hall of Famer, Mitch Richmond. Thank you so much, man. Great to have you on the show.
Great. All right. Thank you guys for having me. Have a good one.
Okay. Mitch Richmond. You're on 95.7 The Game. Again, that wound still stings a little bit. I like that. We're going to have to play that for Don Nelson when he joins us a little bit later on. Any regrets, Don? It feels like Mitch has a few. By the way, welcome to your 4 o'clock hour.